At this point, I'd like to introduce Esmeralda Brown, who, as I indicated earlier, is a Panamanian national, but in addition to that, works with the Women's Workshop in the Americas and is part of what we would call an embryonic, very strong and developing anti-war movement focused on not only the Gulf crisis, this happens to be the focus right now, but actually battling the U.S. racist war machine on a daily basis. Esmeralda Brown.
Good afternoon. On my way to this conference, there are so many reflections going through my mind as to how do you begin dealing with such a topic in terms of resistance against the racist war machine. Being someone that came from a country, a third world country, that in fact has recently been invaded, but that has lived in history in that region of U.S. intervention policies, racist policies towards our people. It's like, where do you begin? I made a few notes, and I would like to share it because many times it's good for us to go back as to where, you know, that policy comes about. And for instance, I recalled or was observing history that says that for almost 500 years, resistance in all forms has been taking place in the region. And I can talk for Latin America and the Caribbean. And this resistance has been against the Dutch. That's where we begin. In fact, in the audience, we have a compañera who's visiting, who is here from Suriname, and she could tell you very well, and I would like us to give her a recognition. Compañera from Suriname, who is here with us. And as I said, that began, you know, with the Dutch, the British, the Portuguese, the French invaders, and at this present historical period against U.S. imperialism. When you analyze what do they all have in common and come to the conclusion that not only is their inherent illness of greed for stealing and attempting to own what not is theirs, but the most severe inherent illness is their racism. That behavioral condition wherein that particular Caucasian ethnic grouping imposes its culture, language, and in addition of its diseases and illnesses and its war on our peoples in the region. And when I talk about the peoples, I talk about that majority, the blacks and Indians. Therefore, we find that since day one, with Columbus stepping on our soil, 500 years ago, and today still remaining on the soil as Columbus, using whatever means necessary. So I think that when Malcolm X talk about what struggle by whatever means necessary, our people did understood that very clearly. In the most recent years, we have been able to witness the brutality of the U.S. interventionists and racism and its war machinery in the third world. Of course, with local collaborations in the same countries or regionally. In the Caribbean, we saw the puppet governments. And I could not remember her name. I usually tend to call her Aunt Jemima. Somebody, could you help me? Virginia, right, of Dominica, justifying the invasion, for instance, of Tiny Grenada. Just a good example how this, you know, they can just use their puppets. On December 20, 1989, we also saw the U.S. display its monster war machinery against an indefenseless people of color. And also with the support of a tiny minority, a Caucasian tiny minority, called Rabiblancos. I'll translate it, white tails, that's what we call them in Panama. And yes, you saw that war machinery that maybe in this particular time they utilized a stealth bomber. For many it might be a bomber, but yes, it was a bomber that bombed a country, bombed a people, and particularly was targeted against people of color. We also are seeing at this present time that maybe the same stealth bomber, which now Colin Powell, who said that, well, not only that it was quite effective in terms, as you know, it was an experiment which wasn't even approved by the Congress of this country, but not only that they massacred over or almost 7,000 people in Panama, but it also helps that, you know, when charged, it misses the, somebody help me, you do not see it, so it, the radars, so, you know, it has been, you know, perfectioned. So, you know, you're seeing what is taking place in the sense of when we talk about ours, I would not want to say that Colin Powell is ours, but, you know, how they're utilized, people of color, the question then comes up about those of us, or our children, being sent to a war to kill us. I can say to you that when the invasion of Grenada took place, there were black faces, there were Latinos, and the same thing has happened for Panama. There were black faces using the very sophisticated weaponry in defense of a minority in this country, in defense of the rich. I also want to remind you that the U.S. policy has always been a policy where its policymakers, which are all white males, white Caucasian males, they're very strong believers of what we call of manifest destiny. And we need to be very much aware that that's the reason why when you find, for instance, that they decide that they can invade any one of the third world countries without even thinking twice about it, they will not do it in Europe. As a speaker said earlier, Europeans are not being invaded, or people of color, regardless that, you know, you hear the talk now, especially at the UN, or everyone is celebrating that there is an end of the Cold War. The changes in Eastern Europe, you know, creates a new world model, and, you know, but yes, Panama got invaded within that period. And more I am convinced by the Africans have a saying, the proverb that says that, you know, when the elephants were fighting, or when the elephants fight, the grass get trampled. But know that the elephants are making love, the grass still get trampled. And this reflects our region, that regardless of what happens in Europe, be it Eastern Europe or Western Europe or whatever, you know, that in our third world, it makes no change for our people in terms of policy. Yes, the people make changes. We had a revolution in Nicaragua, but we also still have a revolution in Cuba, 30 years of a revolution. And what it says that yes, there is resistance in all forms, whatever forms it takes. If it takes the forms of throwing stones, you know, when I look at the struggle with the Palestinian brothers and sisters and children, it's very close home to us, because as a child I remember on that canal zone when the U.S. were, you know, shooting their bullets on us, we would throw stones, and we stoned them for days, and we were experts in throwing them. The U.S. still believes, it still thinks that it's, you know, that policeman of our region, And it's because of its racism. It's a racist government. This country, in fact, was built on racism. Coming here and taking away the land from the real owners. Bringing human beings and treating them as animals, slaves in this country to build this country. It was racism. So what is expected when they go to the third world? There's no difference. And that's what we also need to understand, that we are the same people. And that whatever affects us in the third world, yes, we have been divided among languages. The compañera from Suriname speaks Dutch because of the colonizers there. I speak Spanish because of the Spanish colonizers. Many of you speak, or most of you speak English, French, Creole, whatever. But also we have to take the whole element of class. And that's very important. And we have to educate ourselves about our realities. When you go to that region, when you hear how our people are demonized, why is it that we have had Hitlers in this world? I think that Bush and Reagan, I think they are Hitlers. And they are not called Hitlers, not even by the most progressive people. But when you look at a country like Panama, and you look at him, at the chief commander-in-chief, and was called, I mean, you know, made a demon out of him. Now, you know, the demon in Central America is no longer here. They have him in Miami. So you go to the Middle East and find another demon. Tomorrow's going to be Africa. I wonder what other demon we're going to find there, you know? And then we fall for that. And then what happens, then, you know, you get everybody very well worked up. And, you know, you have your war. Now, what is very unfortunate, you see, for those of our children that are in that army, is that the bugs are going to come back here, as in Vietnam. It's not going to be Panama, like Panama. They claim 23 died. We know that it was about 1,000 that were killed. And what does this mean? That we need to see to it all so that the people in this country resist more than what they're resisting. Yes, there is resistance here. We cannot say that there isn't resistance. But we need to find another type of resistance to shake this country, to change the policies. I believe that the people united can make changes. I believe that if you understand your history, and I strongly believe that you have to create that consciousness to understand that if you struggle in this country, you'll be able to liberate yourself. And if you support the struggles in other country, you're helping your own struggle here. So compañeros and compañeras, I would just like maybe to end by saying that I think that this is one of the most appropriate time for us gathering and really reflecting on what's going to happen. Last night I had the great honor to meet a Vietnam combatant who will be on a tour here in the United States. He's a Vietnamese. And I said to him that I had something very sad to share. And it's that 2 days ago, I had to get a brother of mine sent to a place for treatment. And I explained to him what happened to people of color, not only here, but in other third world countries. My brother came from Panama here, but he had to sign up to be in the military. So he was drafted and sent to Vietnam. And he's having a severe case of post-traumatic syndrome. So here it is, I am meeting someone that comes from, that is here from Vietnam, and I am sharing this. And it's something very interesting that he said to me, and it was like, he said, you know, we are in Vietnam. The combatant always understood that people of color were sent there against their will because they have no power. And therefore, they were protected by us. And they gave us solidarity. And they were talking about, he was talking about the blacks. He said, they gave us solidarity. And the struggle that took place here, because people understood. No, I differ from him about people understanding. I think it's because the body bags were coming back here, why people wanted the war to end. But nevertheless, it was very interesting to see this encounter and for me to feel a very warmth towards that person, he who had lived the U.S. invasion and war, and I who come from a country that my people has lived that invasion. So I would just like to say that the struggle must continue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Esmeralda Brown.